Now just sit right there till we're finished with the show.
Good day, Yap Sheep listeners.
We are here with a special Yap Sheep exclusive review of a 1962 paperback entitled Slide, Charlie Brown Slide by Charles M. Schulz. And this is a Fawcett Crest book. The copy we have is pretty beat up. It's getting all yellow. But what we're going to do is just read a little bit from it and then have some comments on it. We've got Leonone Pullen, as well as myself, Joe Cipetta, my wife Denise, and Luke Cipetta. The pages are not even numbered. We just picked some highlights that we're going to be reviewing for all our listeners. The first comic actually has Charlie Brown, Linus, and Snoopy walking along the road. And Charlie Brown starts out, "I would never think of stealing cookies from a store."
"No, neither would I."
"But from home, that's different."
"Oh yes, it's perfectly all right to steal them from your mother at home."
And then Snoopy chimes in and says, actually he's thinking, "That's what's known as a double standard of morality." You know, double standards of morality are prevalent in people's lives, and we don't even realize it.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we hold ourselves to one esteem and other people to others. It's okay for us to do something, but not okay for your children to do something. I think that's just a classic example right there.
Yeah, what was convicting was that it's so true that a lot of times you can be one way, maybe the nice way in front of lots of people, but then when you're at home, do you have a double standard of how you act? So I thought the page had a lot of truth to it. Another one, we've got a classic scene of Schroeder with Lucy, and of course Lucy is hanging out by Schroeder's piano, and Lucy starts out by saying,
"I dreamed about you last night, Schroeder. I dreamed that you gave up this stupid piano and went to trade school to learn how to make a living so you could support me after we got married."
"The only way I would ever marry you would be if you were the last girl on earth. And in that case, all the trade schools would probably be gone too."
"I'll have to admit, that sounds logical."
Oh, I love that. I love that because she's really thinking analytically and taking him seriously. I thought that was great that she was able to get real deep.
Good one.
Good one.
Almost every one of the ones where it's the girl by the piano and Schroeder is that they really do try to struggle through their relationship. Charles Schulz really presents conflicts between men and women, boys and girls, very well. He's right on with this one. It's just so true how guys are on one wavelength a lot of the times and women are just totally on a different wavelength. We're going to go over to a scene wherein it's Charlie Brown and Lucy walking down the road. And Charlie Brown starts out, "Does it really make you happy to tear me down, Lucy? Does it really make you happy to know that all your insults are hurting me?" Lucy is smiling hugely.
"Do I look happy?"
"I couldn't deny it." This is just a real sobering comic to me that people are mean. Somebody was mean to me on the train just on the way home. They passed through another car on the train, and in between the cars, they actually pointed their fingers at me and pretended like they were shooting me. And he went like pointing his finger at me like it was a gun. He smiled at my face, and then he kept on going. It's just very strange, mean. This comic reminded me of just how mean people can be, you know, even these little kids. And that's one of the things that I like about Schulz's work is just that sometimes he really does expose the sinful nature very well in an entertaining way, but also it just contains a lot of truth. And we've got Lee as our page turner to Lucy and a girl that we're not sure who she is, but she's kind of a light-haired girl with a bow in her head. And Lucy starts out, they're sitting on a bench, and Lucy starts out with her hands covering her head.
"I can't look.
The score is 3-2 in the last of the ninth, but we have two outs. But Charlie Brown is on third, and our best hitter is coming up."
"Say, you don't think Charlie Brown will try to steal home, do you?"
"Never. Not even Charlie Brown would do anything that stupid."
"I wonder if I should try to steal home." Luke and I read this, and I was laughing hysterically. What I love about Charlie Brown is just he's a dreamer. He is a dreamer despite just the terrible odds against him, despite his lack of success in so many of the stories. He's just an incredible dreamer, and I just appreciate that so much about this character.
Yeah, and when I look at this, I think Charlie Brown really shows how much like sheep we as humans really are. You know, we just don't know our own way without any guidance. And here he is, all the odds stacked against him. You know, knowing that he shouldn't try to steal home, pondering if he should steal home. You know, he is, in the true sense of the word, a sheep in this situation here.
It's funny.
Charlie Brown is upset about, I think he lost the game, and it's nighttime, and he hasn't left the field. He's laying on the field. Lucy is standing over him. And Charlie Brown starts out by saying, "If I had stolen home, I'd have been the hero. Instead, I'm the goat."
Don't think of yourself as being the goat, Charlie Brown. If you forget about it, everyone else will too.
Do you really think so, Lucy?
I'm positive. Good night, goat.
What blew me away about that it's so like the world. It promises so much to you, but then it beats you down and it reminds you that life is hopeless. Without Jesus, life is hopeless. And that just had a lot of truth to it, just about how the world really has no real hope for us. And it's only in God's kingdom that we really have hope. The next one here, Schroeder at the piano, and this time Charlie Brown is leaning against the piano. Starts out with Schroeder saying,
"Charlie Brown, let me give you a little advice. As long as you think only of yourself, you'll never find happiness. You've got to start thinking about others."
Others? What others? Who in the world am I supposed to think about?
Beethoven.
Oh, good grief. It's just so true that you do have to be selfless. You have to think about others. And that really is the key to happiness, serving like Jesus served us and serving others. But then, of course, you know, we're let down because, you know, the focus here for Schroeder is Beethoven. And of course, the focus in our lives needs to be, who does the focus in our life need to be?
God.
Mm-hmm.
So our next comic is, again, an unnumbered page, but we're nearly halfway through the book here. We're just skipping around. It's not every page that we're going to be reviewing here. It's Linus, and he's holding up a card. And, of course, Charlie Brown is with him, and they're outside, and they're talking. And Linus starts out,
"Just think, Charlie Brown, my own library card.
I hope you make good use of it by taking out all the books you can read."
"I suppose that would be more practical, wouldn't it?"
"More practical than what?"
"I was thinking of having it framed."
It's just so worldly. He's using something valuable, but for not the right purpose. And I think in our life we can do that as well, like a library card, and not use it for the right purpose. I think it's the same with some of the things that we do in our life, you know, some of our accomplishments, they're good accomplishments, but then we try to make that who we are, and it's not who we are, it's just our accomplishments. Another one here we've got is Linus. I believe Linus, he's got a giant baseball hat on, and he's in the middle of a big field with tall grass. It's really just him, and he's talking the whole time, and he says,
"I don't mind playing right field. I don't mind standing out here in the weeds over my head. Really, I don't. I mean, if this is where I can do the team the most good, this is where I belong. The only thing that bothers me is, I don't know if I'm facing the right way."
Of course, throughout the comic, he's kind of looking this way and that, and it's beautifully illustrated by Schultz. This is very true about the battle between good and evil. We can't just be out there directionless, not knowing where we need to look for guidance, where the game is at. We need to be in the game and know what we're doing in the game, in the fight against good and evil. So I thought that was a good reminder of, wow, this poor little kid, he's lost, he's you know, he's going to get it. You know, the ball's probably just going to knock him out. Here we've got another one, another baseball scene. They've got these giant caps on. It's during a game. They've got mitts on. It's Charlie Brown and Lucy. Charlie's got his hands raised up in the air. And he says, "Look, Lucy, this is our last game of the season. Can't you play any better than you've been playing? You've dropped five fly balls this inning.
Your cap is touching my cap, Charlie Brown. Move your head so your cap won't touch my cap. Whenever a manager talks to one of his players, he should make sure that his cap doesn't touch the player's cap.
I can't stand it. And Charlie Brown walks away in just total discouragement.
It's just so funny because he's making a valid point to her, and then she totally changes the subject to something, and like she's blaming him, and just kind of typical of human nature, you know, how there's a valid point that someone's trying to make to you, and instead of being humble, we get prideful, and just, you know, like you just have to, you just have this reaction, like, what, where is she coming from? What is she talking about? But to her, she's making perfect sense in her mind, and she just doesn't see how clueless she is.
Another scene, they're on the pitcher's mound, Charlie Brown and Lucy, they've got their mitts on, and Lucy starts out by saying,
"So this is the pitcher's mound, eh? Boy, you can see a long way from up here. I'll bet you can see for 10 miles. It would be nice to come up here in the evening and just look around, maybe even bring a few friends. I'll have to think about that."
The reason why I want to highlight this one was they're supposed to be playing a game, and it's just not, they're not in the game. They're totally distracted, and so they're already defeated. To me, that has a lot of parallels with being a Christian. If you're in the game, you can't be distracted. Next one is another one in which Schroeder, who is the catcher, with Charlie Brown. And
no, Linus. It's Linus.
Oh, it's Linus?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Luke. We've got our expert on hand. So we've got Linus, and he starts off by saying,
"If you can get this last man out, Charlie Brown, we'll win the ball game. Therefore, I would suggest you throw him a curve."
"No, don't do that," says another guy. "Throw him a drop ball."
"How about a knuckleball? Or a slider? How about a slow ball? Give him the old high hard one. Can you throw an upshoot?"
And Charlie Brown sums up, "This world is filled with people who are anxious to function in an advisory capacity." Hey, that's so true. When you try to lead and step out and take the lead in a team, you've just got a gazillion people throwing opinions at you. And sometimes it is not productive. And, of course, many times, though, we need many advisors. But sometimes when it's game time, you need to get in there and just throw your ball.
Exactly. I think in this case here, it points out a great example of how you really just need to have one leader. You know, you can have way too many leaders at one point in time trying to take control, and then the game doesn't go anywhere. The ball game stands still. And you need that one leader to kind of step out and guide everything. And I think at that point, you know, people around them just need to be humble and let the leader lead as he is told.
And next one, we've got Linus. He's reading the newspaper, and Lucy, his sister, is in the background. I think she's playing with a yo-yo. And Linus starts out by saying,
"I never realized the world was in such sad shape. Look at this newspaper. Look at what's happening. I never realized that such things went on today."
"What are you reading? The front page?"
"No, the movie ads."
That is such a snapshot of real life, just kind of the depravity of some of the things that they show in the theaters.
I would totally agree with that. I know half the movies myself, I just don't want to waste my money on going to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty funny, though.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, it's sad because I grew up being a movie lover, but now I don't trust the content in some of these movies if they're going to show you some inappropriate things or some language that you don't want to be running through your mind. So it's an example of Schultz being right on in exposing the culture for what it really is. So Lee's reading ahead here and chuckling. We've got Charlie Brown looking down because Lucy is on all fours on the ground and she's looking at the ground as well. And Lucy says,
"Look at those stupid bugs. They don't have the slightest idea as to what is going on in this world."
"What is going on in this world?"
"I don't have the slightest idea."
Again, just a total snapshot of truth. We think from our vantage point we've got it all figured out, but then what happens?
We don't have a clue. We have absolutely no clue at all.
Yeah. And of course, God knows, and if we follow him, we will certainly be guided rightly. Whoever edited this book really brought on some incredible things. Yeah, we've got Charlie Brown and Linus, and they're talking outside. Linus starts out by saying,
What's the cure for disillusionment, Charlie Brown?
A chocolate cream and a friendly pat on the back.
Good old Charlie Brown.
It just shows that, you know, despite people always picking on him and making trouble for him and just saying he can't do anything, Charlie Brown still delivers some incredible love here. He gives his pal some chocolate and a pat on the back and makes him feel good. And I just thought that really does embody just the heart of loving one another. And I just really appreciated that.
I love it when people love me with chocolate.
We do want to make sure that we credit where credit is due. Any dialogue that we read sort of theater style here is written by Charles M. Schultz. That dialogue is copyright by United Feature Syndicate Incorporated, and the year on that is 1962. I'm sure they renewed it somewhere else. I've just gotten a lot out of just reading Charlie Brown through the years, enlightened in my heart. Any just general impressions of Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the whole gang?
I think the book is just a very lighthearted comedy, and I like it because both kids and adults can read it and, you know, just enjoy. And also, you know, learning lessons from it, too.
Yeah, I think looking at Charlie Brown, how it was set up, it really gives us an idea of what our lives are really like on a humorous sense, but with a true sense to reality. I think Charles Schultz did a great job at just depicting how our lives really look, even when we're not in control of them. He did a great job at showing how they look so that we can laugh at ourselves. And I think you need a good, healthy laugh at yourself every now and then.
I like it because I think the bottom line is there's a little bit of Charlie Brown in all of us. You know, we all kind of sometimes feel like the kid who's left out and the kid who doesn't have it together and the kid who's made fun of. But I think it's great just in seeing that because everyone who reads it can relate to it. And that just shows how human we are.
Good one.
That is our Yap Sheet review of Sly, Charlie Brown. Fly.
And of course, we'd like to thank our sponsor, this episode of Yap Sheep, brought to you by the Father, the Son, and
Holy Spirit.
Bah, bah.